He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen Jacoby. Dogs. What is it that we do,
we
sir?
Give the people what they want.
We have a full slate of NFL games to get you prepared for, but we start in Houston, where the new head coach, Steven Silas, had this to say about the disgruntled James Harden.
Well, I haven't spoken to him since the trade, and to be honest with you, in situations like this, so I've been, this is whatever, 22nd year in the NBA, and when stuff like this kind of happens, where there's a little indecision and stuff going on, I kind of take a step back and allow guys some space.
Giving him some space, Jalen. Giving him some space. What do you think about Coach Silas's approach to this?
It totally makes sense. When Coach Silas signed on to be the Rockets coach, he got the green light from James Harden, for example, and support. That doesn't necessarily mean James wants to play the rest of his career there. So they understand as professionals, he talked about how long he's been in the game, that James still has two more seasons left under contract. And I believe, just like I assume the coach believes, when it's mandatory for James to show up, he's gonna show up. He's a dynamic player, Jacoby, and I'm gonna continue to stress, for the sanctity of the game, when you have top 10 players, they're pillars in the league. They're the elite superstars. And I pay attention when Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Anthony Davis end up on other teams. Now, when Dame Lillard and James Harden, and we're going to be talking about the Greek Freak and Jokic, like, it's important for the balance of the game for those guys to get a chance to play against one another, Jacoby. And so if James Harden leaves Houston, they're not only losing a dynamic player that I don't think they're going to be able to replace, but we're also losing one of the pillars of the league playing in Houston that's now going to leave and be playing elsewhere.
Well, a couple things on this. Number one, I bet Coach Silas has texted and called James Harden and just didn't hear back, so that's how he's giving him space. But I also want to say this. It's one thing if you're James Harden, the number one scorer in the NBA, to say, I want to play in Brooklyn with Kyrie and KD. It's one thing to say that, but if I'm the Houston Rockets, I'm looking at the potential package that Brooklyn can give me back and take a look at it. This is just something that we are sort of theorizing that they could get back for James Harden with, through Brooklyn. That's not doing it for me. I like all three of those players, Jalen. But you know what else I like? The guy who scores more points than everybody else in the entire league.
I'm not going to be able to do it.
That's not happening for me. If I'm the Rockets, I'm like, James, listen, you've got two more years on your deal. We've got practice. You better be there because you have a contract and you get paid tens of millions of dollars to play the sport that you love. We'll see you at the facility until we can work something out. What do you think happens next in this little chess game?
Well, what happens next, hopefully, is the Houston Rockets should not panic. That's the most important thing. I think Silas is going to do a terrific job. And their general manager, I'm telling you guys, has done a terrific job this all season with underappreciated assets around the league. You
Raphael
talked
Stone.
Yesterday about my Christian Woods from the Pistons playing with mm-hmm. them. They also mm-hmm. got DeMarcus Cousins that's going to be motivated and looking to get paid, and John Wall returning from injury. And so while they were playing the small ball with P.J. Tucker, he's still on the team. And Eric Gordon's still on the team. So the Rockets still have a chance to be one of the top handful of teams in the Western Conference. Don't panic.
I wouldn't panic either. And I definitely would not trade him to Brooklyn before the season started for the package that we just put up on the screen. Now, moving on to another star player, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was doing an interview overseas, and here's the translation of one of the more interesting things that he said. He said, quote, if LeBron, KD, or AD want to join me in Milwaukee, I will be happy. I don't care about being number one or number two or number three. He went on to say that all he cares about is winning. Jalen, what do you think about this philosophy from Giannis?
Well, it's levels to it. First and foremost, you want players that think team first, and everyone's goal is to be a champion. That's the ultimate goal. That's why they keep score. But from a competitive standpoint, you hope that the back-to-back MVP is talking about how he's going to beat those guys this year. because he's still under contract for the Bucks, and they underperformed. And by the way, it wasn't to LeBron, KD, or AD. It was to Jimmy Butler in his first year with the Miami Heat. Have we seen that happen in the East before? Oh, that's right. Kawhi Leonard did it his first year in Toronto in the East. So I understand that all year we're going to be talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Can they do enough for Giannis to get him a championship? Not too many back-to-back MVPs end up leaving. LeBron James did so when he left Cleveland. This is something I hope does not happen to the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis for his future.
Well, everyone asks, should Giannis sign the extension? No, Giannis has no motivation to sign the extension. That money will be there after this season. They brought in Drew Holiday. I think that was very important. They made some other moves. But remember, they tried to get Bogdanovich. And they're not doing this in a vacuum. They're doing this with Giannis's co-sign. So you see what they did there. To me, that's not enough to make me put pen to paper if I am Giannis. Because if I'm Giannis, that's where I'm looking. I'm saying, you know what? Even if they go 82-0 and win the championship, I'm still looking at Dallas and looking at Luka and say, ooh, that's a really nice mix. That looks really good for me. And Jalen, do they have taxes in Dallas?
They have no state taxes in Texas. He's going to save a lot of bread if that happens. However, Jacoby, I like what you did there. This is the only reason why. You know how I want him to stay in Milwaukee. But if he is going to leave, don't go join somebody that already's been ring chasing. Go your own path. Go to Luka's squad. Go to Dallas and play with him and KP, because neither one of those guys, unlike the aforementioned players that we mentioned, have been on other situations where they tried to create a big two or a big three.
Of course, you know there's so many duos in the league, and I like complementary duos. If you look at James Harden, John Wall, not necessarily complementary. If you look at LeBron and AD, complementary. You look at Giannis and Luka, their games fit each other's game perfectly. I would love to see him in Dallas. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep that open. If I'm just going to keep it open if I'm Giannis. Just keep it open if I'm Giannis. And make Milwaukee, make the Bucks audition for me.
No, well, they lost Kareem. I don't want them to lose Giannis. That's heartbreaking. I don't know what Freddie Gibbs will do.
There's been some new coaches and new players around the league, and Ty Lue was discussing one of his new players in the Clippers, and here's what he had to say. It's soft mover boss.
Losing Sham was huge for us. I thought we had a young talent who can shoot the basketball, come off screens, a lot of pick-to-picker actions. You know, that was tough for us to lose him, but, you know, we got a good player and I can't see it. Hello?
It was the head scratch for me. It was like, so he was discussing Luke Kennard, a new player for the Clippers, and he just started scratching his head and then acted like the Zoom froze. Now, the Zoom might have froze, but he still didn't remember Luke Kennard's name. Jalen, acting like the Zoom froze because you forgot your own player's name. Soft mover, boss
move. It was actually a boss move what he did.
It was.
However, it was a soft move not remembering your player's name when you only have up to 17 of them on the roster this year. And if you're the player, you want the coach to be excited that they traded for you and actually talk about what your role is going to be on the team. But I'm going to tell a lot of people, Luke Kennard is an underrated player. He's going to play quality minutes for the Clippers. But let me talk about my guy, Ty Lue. A championship coach is going to do a terrific job with the Clippers, Jacoby. You know what that is? That's a failed test. That's actually what that really is. And that's why I applaud Adam Silver for being the kind of commissioner that's not going to randomly test his players and or coaches this year. That's why I love the league. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Great job.
Recreational medicinal is legal in California. And as you mentioned, they're not going to conduct random tests for marijuana. What sort of message does that send to the players as we head into a new season?
The message is the NBA is keeping up with the rest of society. It's not something that we're going to promote or condone in particular for minors. However, the other professional sports aren't punishing for marijuana. The NBA and the NFL have been the two consistent ones. So the NBA seems to be softening that stance. I expect this to continue for the future.
Well, I've never seen an NBA player smoke marijuana in my entire life. So I'm not going to name any names, but there's like five people that come to mind when I saw this. There's like four or five people that come to mind. And if you watch a lot of NBA basketball, you know exactly who I'm talking about. Shout that handful of players. They're going to celebrate this development in a unique way. Jalen, you see my t-shirt today?
Booyah!
Representing legend. My Booyah t-shirt. We celebrate B-Week here at ESPN and, of course, the life and legacy of Stuart Scott. Let's listen to one of his more powerful messages.
I'm still here. I'm fighting. I'm not losing. But I got to amend that. When you die, that does not mean that you lose to cancer. You beat cancer by how you live, why you live, and in the manner in which you live.
You can honor Stuart Scott's memory by giving to his research fund. The fund supports minority researchers and the research of why some cancers are more likely to impact minority populations. If you're able, give now at b.org/Stuart.
Miss you, Stu.
Jalen. We have a full slate of NFL games to get you ready for, and we will do so right after this. The 19th annual Women's Jimmy V Classic continues tonight. It is Louisville DePaul at 6:30 on ESPN. Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have some big games in the NFL. We start in the AFC where the Browns face off against the Titans. What are you keying on in this one?
I got the keys. How about this? When you have Myles Garrett on your roster, Odell Beckham Jr. on your roster, and Baker Mayfield on your roster, you wouldn't think the person that actually where your catalyst would be Nick Chubb, the Chubster. But he actually has been. You see that right there? Look at that stiff arm.
Sit
Booyah!
Down.
Like Stu Scott would say. You see that stiff arm? You know what I'm saying? And so running Nick Chubb and the balance with Kareem Hunt has been a difference maker for this Cleveland Browns team. Our producer B-Lo is happy. About the 10 Cleveland fans around the world, CJ McCollum, LeBron James. I know y'all happy as a Lions fan. We got that 0-16 thing in common. But like I told y'all at the beginning of the year, it's the schedule. It's the light schedule. Don't expect to be winning no playoff games or nothing like that this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Browns are 8-3, which is a little surprising, but the key in this one is the run game of both of these teams, which is where both these teams gain their yardage. And you look at the comparison between Chubb and Henry, it's a little closer than you would think. You know, obviously the numbers are different with the numbers of rushes they have, but they're doing well, both of these players. And one thing I want to bring up about Derrick Henry is how he starts to perform better as the season goes on. It happens year after year. You know what he did in the playoffs. But if you look at September and October and November, look at how his numbers increase. You know, yards go up. 100 yards games go up. Yards per game go up. So that's what the key is going to be in this one. And big shout to Baker Mayfield, you know, because they've been through a lot in Cleveland. The Browns get criticized a lot.
Cleveland,
and they lost Odell Beckham Jr.
This is for you.
Jalen, you are watching Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN, but we decided before the season that from time to time we're going to turn it into the Cardinals News Network. We picked the Cardinals as our team early this season. And early in the season, it started to pay off, but things haven't been great for Arizona lately. Jalen, they face off against division rival Rams, who have been playing well. It's sort of a tale of two teams going in two different directions. What are you keying on in this game?
The Rams had a disappointing loss last week to the 49ers that a lot of people let fly under the radar. And as you mentioned, the Cardinals have been struggling the last couple of games. And Kyler's going to be terrific, scrambling, making runs, and getting yards. But the thing that stands out to me, Jacoby, is at the beginning of the year, when I was looking down at the stat sheet, DeAndre Hopkins was getting targeted double-digit times. And I know we look back at the last few weeks and we see the Hail Mary play, but I'm noticing that, look at this, 3 targets per game down, 35 yards per game down. It's great to see Kirk one more pass and getting 8 more yards. That's a dynamic duel that they need to feed through the passing game. And I know the Rams ain't the necessary team that you want to try to get your passing game going against because they're the best at taking away the deep ball, in particular with Jalen Ramsey. But that's what it's going to take for the Cardinals if they're going to win the game.
It'll be really interesting to watch Ramsey because I love it when Ramsey just picks the best receivers. I'm going to follow him all over the field. You know, that's exactly what he's going to do with Nuke Hopkins this week. But if I have DeAndre Hopkins on my team, what's the proper number of targets? Like 20? 15? Like, if I'm Kingsbury, I'm designing every single play just to get him the ball because he is the most dynamic and, in my opinion, the best receiver in the NFL. Moving to another division rivalry game, we have the Saints against the Falcons. We saw this game a couple weeks ago when it was the debut of Taysom Hill at quarterback, and the Saints handled the Falcons pretty easily. The Falcons have been low-key playing pretty well lately. What do you expect to see in this one?
Shout out to Raheem Morris. He's been doing a terrific job with the Falcons as they waxed Las Vegas last week. Mm-hmm. That was surprising. But for the Saints, Jacoby, it's about playing ball control football, really. Looking up at the clock, the Patriots playing like this with Cam Newton as well. Mistake-free football, throw a couple of passes, hope that you connect. And if you notice, most of his targets was to Michael Thomas. Basically, Michael Thomas has many catches in the previous game that he had all season. And so when you got weapons like that and you still got Kamara, this has got to be a big week for the Saints.
So Drew Brees broke a bunch of ribs, had a collapsed lung. I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. So if I'm Sean Payton, I'm not playing with this Taysom Hill thing anymore. I'm putting in Jameis Winston because if they want to go deep in the playoffs, if they want to really succeed as a football team and compete with those other top teams in the NFC, they can't do it with Taysom Hill throwing less than 100 yards passing. So they've got, like you said, they do this ball control thing. They don't turn the ball over, but they've got a low ceiling, high floor with Taysom Hill. And Jameis Winston is the ultimate low floor, high ceiling player. I say gamble. I say put in Jameis Winston and roll the dice if I'm Sean Payton.
The weak of the strong, who got it going on? You're dead wrong, dog. You are dead wrong because Jameis Winston turns the football over. That's the only reason why they don't have him out there. And while we talk about the Saints, what we don't talk about is their improved defense. Their defense has been really good this year, getting to the quarterback, in particular that front four. So now you want to play ball control on offense. You don't want to turn the football over, Jacoby. Mistake free. But if you love Jameis so much, let me see you eat the W. Let me see you eat the W then. You ain't. Okay, that's what I thought.
I can't wait to see Jameis eat the W. What I would do is I would sprinkle in some Taysom Hill, much like the Eagles might be doing with Jalen Hurts. The Eagles face off against the Packers, a bad matchup for the Eagles, but you have to wonder, what is going on with Carson Wentz, Jalen Rose?
He's struggling, Jacoby, but he is their starting quarterback that still needs to prove that he can be their franchise quarterback regardless of his actual big deal. But for me, you still have to give him an opportunity to produce. Because I know he's leading the league in getting sacked. I know he leads the league in interceptions. But you know what we don't talk about Philly's Super Bowl run? Their stout defense. And it hasn't been as stout. They dealt with a lot of injuries as well. So this is one of those games, if you're Carson Wentz, you can make a statement. See, Jacoby, this is the rational confidence game. Carson Wentz, you can make a statement. You're going against Aaron Rodgers.
If you play well, they ain't making a statement. They ain't making a statement. It ain't happening. You know it ain't happening. So when you watch the Colts and they have Phillip Rivers and they put in my man Jacoby Brissett for short yardage or for Hail Mary throws, it makes sense to me. But when I was watching this game with the Eagles played last week, they put in Jalen Hurts, but it just didn't make sense to me why. Now, the first time he was out in the field, up offsides, the whole entire right side of the line jumped the snap. And then he was handing the ball off, it didn't really have any sense of rhyme or rhythm to it. What do you think they are doing with this when they put him in?
I think that for the culture, I'm famous in two of the most important places, delivery room and the barbershop. And for Jalen Hurts, I love to see him getting an opportunity to perform on the football field. But what that showed me how the coach used him was that he didn't necessarily want to draft him, and he didn't definitely want to play him. He gave him some first-team snaps this week. All right, GM. All right, owner. I put him out there. But now, rest back and get back to the regularly scheduled program. That's what
exactly.
I thought.
Well, right after this, we will get back to our regularly scheduled programming. We not only have big NBA stories and NFL slate to preview before, we have a big fight. We'll tell you all about it right after this. Stay tuned. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to Jalen and Jacoby, but the show doesn't end when the television show ends. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast because we always have exclusive content on there and exclusive guests. Today we have Juicy J on the show, and here's just a little snippet of what he had to say.
I mean, look at all the stuff we've done, and we're still here today. Like, people are still stopping our music. I mean, like, we've been around for over 30 years and still going strong. It's actually getting better now. What rap group was back 30 years ago, and they still moving forward and getting even stronger? No disrespect to any other groups, but best group.
OG.
Well, you can make sure you listen to Juicy J on our podcast today. Jalen, we have one big fight this weekend. Errol Spence Jr. against Danny Garcia. What does this fight tell you about the future?
I'm glad they're
going
to be in the ring. It's great to see a healthy Errol Spence, the lefty, also back in the ring, fighting on an elite card. I'm taking him to get it done.
Do you know what this says to me? Winner gets Terrence Crawford. We've been talking about Errol Spence and Terrence Crawford facing off for years now, and I want to see it finally happen.
Right?
Make sure you listen to Juicy J on the podcast. We'll be back next week, Monday at 2 p.m. We give the people what they want. Part of that is the podcast exclusive, and the best guest today joining us is Juicy J. Thank you so much for taking the time.
What's up, man? Thank you, bro. Yo, how you doing out there?
So you recently said that 3-6 Mafia was the best hip-hop group ever. I love the confidence. What made you say that?
I mean, look at all the stuff we've done, and we're still here today. Like, people are still stopping our music and we're doing our everything. I mean, like, we've been around for over 30 years and we're still going strong. It's actually getting better now. So, you know, what rap group was back 30 years ago, and they still moving forward and getting even stronger? No disrespect to any other group, but best group.
And you guys are on legendary status. But there's an important question I've been waiting to ask you for a long time. This is really, I had to be a journalist on this one.
Okay.
Do you really feel like it's not a strip club if they're not naked?
Of course.
Please explain further. Please explain further. As somebody that's retired from the game, but trust me, I've spent a portion of my life in those environments. Please, please frame that and let everybody know what you meant when you said that.
I mean, if they ain't getting naked, it's not a strip club. You know what I'm saying? They ain't showing. That's not a strip club. That's just a club.
Adult entertainment. You hear that, Jacoby?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the Los Angeles Lakers just recently signed LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They gave Anthony Davis a 5-year deal. LeBron got a 2-year extension. How many championships do you think this Lakers nucleus can win?
I think they can go for a couple more. Mm. Maybe even 3 more. I mean, they feel like they keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. Lakers got that bag, man. They offer that bag, man. People going to stay.
Exactly. That bag and that real estate, because people want to be in L.A. They want to be in L.A. Speaking of things I want to see is a versus. And you talked recently about potentially doing one versus Pharrell.
Yeah,
is that something that you guys working on?
What, say that again?
Are you guys working to make this happen?
I haven't talked to anybody. Everybody was asking me the question who I would battle with. And I felt like Pharrell, because Pharrell is, you know, he's with a group. I want a group. He went solo. He did a solo thing. I did my solo thing. And he's produced lots of hits. I produced lots of hits. 365 videos from Juicy. So my catalog is just as big as his. And I think it'd be
interesting. Well, some of the people that you've produced hits for, one of them is Wiz Khalifa. You said you're going to produce his whole entire album. Is that true? What can we expect from that project?
Dope.
His whole album. Yeah.
That's crazy. We've seen Hit-Boy do that, Alchemist do that. Talk about the mentality going into producing an entire album for an artist versus doing one song.
man, it's for me, you know, since I know where, so I know what his sound is. I know what he needs, you know what I'm saying? I know what he likes. So it's not really like a battle. I just go in there, you know, smoke a little bit of that good herb and make it happen.
Something tells me it's more than a little bit of that good herb. Just throwing that out there. Wiz Khalifa in the studio. It's probably more than a little bit. I don't know what you consider a little bit. More than what I would consider a little bit. Let's just say that.
Wake and bake, hey, rinse and repeat.
I got my own weed company, man. Me and Gary V. Asterisk. Yep. Mm.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope. So yep. A couple of, you know, he's going to ask, I guess, the professional questions, which leaves me with the unprofessional questions. And that's just fine. So, Mr. Juicy J, I'm curious, what's next for your group, 3-6 Mafia? What's next for you guys?
We going on, once they open everything back up, we're going on a reunion tour. We started the reunion tour early this year, but you know, after the pandemic, everything got shut down. But that's what it is, man. People can see us once they get everything back right. They get a chance to see us live in concert, performing all the old hits. And I'm gonna perform my new solo stuff. So yeah, it's gonna be crazy.
Well, obviously you and 3-6 Mafia synonymous with the great city of Memphis, and the Memphis has got a good young NBA team. What are your expectations for the Grizzlies coming up this season?
They gonna win, man. Grizzlies got a lot of young guys on there, man.
They,
you know,
do.
They got Morant and Jackson and what's the guy named Jonas?
Yeah.
You know,
Dylan, like, Brooks.
They gonna get it, man. Like I tell you, man, them young guys, they hungry. They hungry. So you never know. Like, you can't overlook them.
They got a squad, and I can't wait to watch you guys at the games rooting for them. But I gotta ask you something else. You started an OnlyFans. What can people who you ain't started? You're thinking
I
about
yet.
It?
I am though.
Okay, so what can fans expect from your OnlyFans page?
It's a surprise.
Now you gonna be the first person I follow. I'm telling y'all right now, while I'm at work, I don't follow nobody on OnlyFans. But when Juicy J start one, I'm following him.
So, for those of you that aren't watching or listening to the podcast, I just want everyone to be very clear that Juicy J said, I'm going to go on ESPN. Let me put my red Versace bathrobe on before doing the show.
What made you throw on the red Versace robe?
Come
on, man. I mean, it's everyday life, man. You know what I'm saying? We got to enjoy it. We got to enjoy while we're here, you know? Got to enjoy while we're here, man. Make sure everybody go check out that Hustle Continues album, man. You know, that album is crazy. It sounds like an old 3-6 Mafia album. It's crazy.
Well, as you know, you're a legend.
Hold on one second. My baby girl.
Don't trip us off.
She want
to
come in.
You can bring her in if you want to.
No, she's cool. She's going to play outside.
So you talked about the Lakers winning a couple of more championships. Do you have any NFL interest?
I don't know, man. I watch NFL when I can. You know, I'm so busy with the kids now. But I need to see who's gonna be the last team that
on Super Bowl.
To get there. You know, then I can get y'all, and then I bet y'all some money. I bet y'all like $20,000 a piece.
No, I don't even have $20,000. I don't want to owe you $20,000 if I lose because I ain't got it.
Jacoby, that robe costs $20,000, by the way.
I hear the kids in the background, and I've got three little kids in my house as well. And it's been so difficult during the pandemic. How have you been dealing with parenting during quarantine?
It's cool, man. Like, you know, honestly, I need to be here anyway. You know what I'm saying? It's great spending time with them and watching them grow, and you know what I'm saying, and watching them knock over all my record collections and go through all my trophies and. You know, I love it though, man. It's great, man. You know what I'm saying? We go to the park every other day and we just feel, man. We watch cartoons. Man, family life is the real life, you know? That's what it is. That's what it's all about.
Well, you're a legend. We really grateful that you took the time to join us today. When you launch your OnlyFans, when 3-6 Mafia go on tour, before you do your verses, any of that, please come back and kick it with us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, man. Thank y'all for reaching out. It's real.
Absolutely. Thanks for the love.
Yeah, thank you. Mafia. Peace.
Thank you so much. Want to thank Juicy J for coming on the pod. Make sure you listen to the podcast because we never know who's going to stop by and join us on Jalen and Jacoby. We always like it when you join us on Jalen and Jacoby. You can get involved by calling 985-80-JALEN and leaving us a voicemail, and we will play it on the show. We want to hear from you, so leave us a voicemail at 985-80-JALEN, and we'll play it on the show just like this.
What's up, Jalen? What's up, Jacoby? Shout out, Red. Dan out from Maryland. So I have a barbershop etiquette question for you. I've been seeing the same stylist for like 6 years. I've followed her to two or three different locations. So she's the only person I'll let touch my hair. But now she's moved to a black barbershop I've been to maybe two or three times since. And everybody was vibing to the Kendrick Lamar that was going on. Now, soft move or boss move? Everybody's getting along, but still being the new white guy, making a song request. All right, guys, keep getting them checks.
Oh, wow. That's a good one. That's a good one. So, just to recap, I could tell that this guy looks like me because he said that he had a stylist and not a barber. And I was like, oh, okay, he's a white guy. Like, that's a white guy. That's a white guy thing to say. I love this white guy from Maryland. And then his stylist moved to a black barbershop. Boss moved from her. He's in the environment. Everyone's listening to Kendrick. People are talking. He's kind of news his third time there. And he says, you know what? I want to hear this one track. So he asked for the song. Jalen, soft move or boss move, making the request as a white guy in the black barbershop.
Being a white guy in a black barbershop is a boss move, period. So I want to give him a shout. Thank you very much for calling. Now what you got to do, depending on what state you in, depending on how loyal you are to your barber, depending on how loyal you are to your barbershop, you'll learn the habits of the barbershop. You'll understand the people that's coming in, selling certain things. It used to be DVDs, it could be pills, it could be somebody that's gonna run to the store, somebody has the medicinal. The barbershop is the hub of the hood. Everything is always happening constantly. Those are terrific entrepreneurs who keep a schedule and have to find a way to manage human beings to cut their hair. And they get around $50 each person. Like that's a real thing to nurture. But here's what I'll say to you. And Jacoby, you brought up the stylist versus the barber thing. I wrote that down. I was going to make a note of that. But here's the important thing. No request, dog. No request, dog. Here's why. You have a, it's almost like being on the dance floor and everybody cutting the rug. And then all of a sudden, somebody take it too far. And then you just hear the music stop. That right there. Soon as he makes his request. Because first and foremost, to make a request, you gotta have some time and some years in the shop. That's just like asking for the remote control, dog.
Exactly.
You're not
you
about
to build
watch
up the
what
equity.
You. Yeah, yeah, no doubt. Don't be asking for the remote. Don't be saying nothing about the music. Like, you should be bringing the beers. You should be bringing the coolers. Like, you should treat it like the locker room. Get to know everybody. And then at some point, you may be able to make a request. And lastly, you definitely can't make a request when they playing Kendrick. See, if they're playing something that, you know, it could be debatable if it was dope or not, then okay, you might, you know, at least get one or two other head nods in a room. But you better not ever, ever, ever make a request when a legend like Kendrick is playing in particular.
You gotta be like 5 years in. You gotta have everybody in the room's number in your phone if you're gonna start making requests. You can't be new. You can't be on your second or third time and make requests. You just gotta build up the equity. You have to build up the social equity to earn the right to make a request. And also, you're disrespecting somebody who put thought into what songs are going to be played. That's someone's job. That's someone's job. They don't have it on a Pandora channel. They've got someone set up a little playlist. They took their time and energy to flow that playlist through the day. They spend a lot of time in that barbershop, and they talk, and they listen to the music all day long. Someone put time and energy into that decision-making process, and you're kind of just kind of take that from them without the equity to do so. So, soft move, but being in a black barbershop is a boss move. It's very awkward, especially when you're new. I've been there. I've gotten yelled at before in the black barbershop.
About what? What did they yell at you about?
It was the barber, because he would do my lineup, and then I would maintain it in between cuts, because I'm not like you. I don't get a haircut every 2 days. So I would do my own. I remember walking in there, and the guy just looked right at my lineup, because I had done it myself, and he was just like, what? He was basically get out of here. He's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, I spend time and energy trying to give you a lineup, and then you're doing it yourself. You're not giving me anything to work with when you come in. What are you doing?
Hold on. Reg, can you stop the music again? Can you stop the music again? Okay, hold on.
Jalen, you're rich. You get a haircut every other day.
This has nothing to do with finance.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't. It's just a cultural thing, Jacoby. The same way you knew that was a white guy because he said stylist, because people that look like me say barber, is the same ears that are listening to this right now, people that look like me, when they heard you say you cut your own hair.
Yes, I cut my own hair.
Black people don't cut their own hair. Black people don't cut their own hair. We go to a barbershop.
Listen, I don't have the money to get a cut every 3 days.
It's not a money thing. You got $25. Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
This is a long time ago, Jalen. This is when I was living in a studio apartment in Brooklyn. This is a long time ago, Jalen, before I met you. This is a long time ago. The ceilings low. Got the 7-foot ceilings.
Dog. Oof. But here's our choices for black people. Either we go into the barbershop or we ain't getting a cut. That gave birth to so many different looks for so many different reasons. You see the trife look that cats be rocking, or froze back in the day for solidarity and power. Like, either we gonna get a cut or we ain't gonna get a cut. But if we can get our hair did, D-I-D, if we get our hair did, oh man, be laid down like the Mac dog, like TJ Houssmanzada.
I just want to let everybody know.
Ice T when he first started.
Who's listening to this? That Jalen Rose has been constantly patting his hair down. He's got like you look like a twin brother, Jalen Rose, that made really bad life decisions. You know what I mean? this is like if you went down the wrong path. You know what I mean? This is like if you never met Molly Jalen Rose. You know what I mean? That's what you look like right now. Beard all long, goatee not shaved. This is like The Rock just not working out. It's just like, nah, just let himself go. Man, you saw The Rock and he was 300 pounds. That's what I'm looking at right now. You need a cut. Do you need me to Venmo you some money or something for a cut? I know you got a barber.
Hey, dog, like I said this morning, when I was going through my little waiver routine, my little C-minus waiver routine, I just thought about Reg DeLege, dog. I gotta make him proud, dog. He was a guy, like, you gotta watch, I don't know why I'm drawing the blank. Tracy Morgan's
like
show.
The Last OG.
Last OG. You gotta watch Last OG. Anybody that's seen Last OG, it's a classic episode where Rakim was on there. And he was a legendary barber. And so they called him Shiz. But anyway, that's how I was when Reg brought in the wave grease and the do-rag and the brush and the castor oil, Jamaican castor oil. It's still leaking on the outside of the bottle. I took it home, Jacoby. I put it on my marble countertop. I woke up the next day like, no, this ain't, uh-uh.
One thing I want to say about Tracy Morgan is anyone who lives in New York has seen Tracy Morgan driving down the street, music super loud, usually no top in the summertime with like the purple Rolls Royce or Lamborghini or whatever. Like,
that's,
I swear,
my
he spends
guy.
He spends all of his off time in extremely expensive cars just cruising Manhattan, and I am here for it. He's not trying to be on the low. Like, sometimes when you walk around, you got the hat and sunglasses, right. You're trying to be on the low. He might as well just have a big sign that says, I'm Tracy Morgan.
Yeah,
he's the best. I love Tracy Morgan so much. So
Legend.
Much.
We still got to do our comedy brackets. We got to do our comedy brackets for the pod.
Got to do the comedy brackets. We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a voicemail. We'll play it on the show just like this.
What's good, Jalen and Jacoby? It's your boy Ty. We calling from ATL, you know, the littest city in the United States ever. We, you know, I'm out here seeing spaceships on Bankhead. You know what I mean. Shout out Reggie. I know you have to say that to get on the show, so let me just get it out of the way. Here's my question, rather quick story. So I have a job in the music industry, and I might know the person who created Wu-Tang's, you know, their most iconic cover. And she told me a very interesting story that comes along with it. She tells me the day of the photo shoot, she gets there, and they tell her, the manager tells her, like, oh, yeah, half of them got arrested. She's like, what are we going to do? So actually on the cover, those aren't, some of those guys aren't even the Wu-Tang. Those are just, like, regular stand-in guys that just threw in them. The other half is. So how does that make you guys feel that I just ruined, like, one of your favorite iconic, like, album covers? But, yeah, that's everything. Shout out, Atlanta. You dig.
That was a dope caller right there. That's a dope caller.
Hip-hop history. Unsolved mystery.
Jacoby, you remember the movie Scanners with Jack Nicholson?
Yes.
And then his head just exploded? That just happened to me right then. Wow.
Because everybody who's over the age of 30 knows exactly what album covers he's talking about. And there's a lot of, like, blurred faces and mystery, and you can't really see who it is. But here's what I wanted to know. What if you're one of the dudes that's not in the, if you're just like standing on a corner and someone's like, yo, come over here real quick and put these pantyhose on your face and kind of cover your face a little bit. Like somewhere there's a dude named Jamal who's like, I'm not in Wu-Tang, but I am on the Wu-Tang album cover.
A couple of things. Shout to ATL. You already know Detroit and Oakland along with Atlanta, we cousins. And I know what you mean when you say riding spaceships and seeing them going up Bankhead. And just so you know, as somebody that's really been breaking bread in Atlanta since the early 90s, and I got a chance to be a part of the BMF party scene as it switched from Detroit to Atlanta, and what ended up changing in a lot of ways is that Atlanta went from being a Chevy driving, big body, old school vehicle type of car, Chevelles and cars like that, versus the whips that he talking about, Ferraris, Bentleys, and stuff like that. Of course, hip-hop had a big hand in that. If you look at how Atlanta rap changed, is basically how Atlanta street changed. That gave the birth to trap music. And if you think back at T.I.'s first video, what is he doing in the video? He rocking a fur with a Bentley with Puff. That's when it really started to change the look and the versatility of ATL, because ATL is crazy versatile.
One thing I want to say about that Wu-Tang cover is, it's hard to remember, but if you go back 25 years. How old am I? Man, that was a long time ago. 25 years.
His feelings is hurt. And
remember Ghostface Killah didn't show his face?
Are you about to cry?
You remember when Ghostface Killah didn't show his face? He was just a mystery. It wasn't until Cuban Links came out that he didn't even show his, ever since the face reveal things got real, whatever he said. Like he was always behind a mask in every performance and in every photo and every interview and everything. He just kept that mystique. I thought that was one of the dopest things in the history of hip hop. And now that we know his personality, I'm not surprised that he was an innovator in that way. But I am surprised to hear that it was not actually Wu-Tang in that picture for the 36 Chambers album. We will be back on Monday. Why is that, Jim?
How about the fact that multiple times a week on this show, Method Man is featured? The Wu-Tang Clan is for the babies. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
Just to be fine.